Good morning and welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most vital segment of our society. To those of you like me who know that there's something dreadfully wrong with the political and religious institutions which govern and control our nation, who recognize the considerable malfeasance inherent in the media, the military, and also with regard to economic influences. We realize that these institutions are the problem. They are not the solution. So instead of trying to rearrange the deck chairs on our sinking ship of state, our mission is to scour the news, looking behind the headlines, so that we come to know who is causing the tragedies that are besieging our planet, and so that we come to understand why they are doing so, all while predicting how their ill-advised and inappropriate plans will influence our world. At the very most, based upon the plague of ill-advised political, religious, military, and economic influences, we have 15 to 20 years until all hell will be unleashed. A complete economic collapse, world war, unrelenting propaganda, and killings that will number in the billions rather than the hundreds of thousands or even in the tens of millions. Therefore, in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides the only escape from what will become planet hell. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is toll free, 877-300-7645. Before I reengage on what will be the concluding program on the myth of global warming, at least on man-made global warming, I'd like to comment on the lead item in the news this past few minutes, the Islamic bond. Is all of a sudden we have bonds that are now issued by a religion? Do we have a bond that is from the religion of Islam? I mean, is that like the Christianity all of a sudden decided that there would be one state of Christianity and you can have a Christian bond? Or how about a Mormon bond? Is the Islamic bond to be paid out in jihad points? How about in virgins in paradise? You know, the reason this is really hilarious, of course, is that the commentators, both with SRN and the BBC, are clueless as to why Islam very seldom offers bonds. Bonds are like treasury bonds or corporate bonds where they pay an interest rate to those who are willing to loan money to either the corporation or to the government. But in Islam, charging interest, collecting interest, is illegal. It's a violation of Sharia law. And the reason it's illegal is because Muhammad's first Muslims, those who slithered out of Mecca in shame following the satanic verses, came into Yathrib, today's Medina, unwilling and unable to work. They had no skills whatsoever. They were parasites. And so to keep from starving, they borrowed money from the only group in Yathrib that worked, the Jews. And the Jews, like all civilizations throughout history, understood the nature, the time value, and the nature of money. You charge interest when you loan money. You pay interest when you borrow money. If there were no interest paid and no interest received, there would be no reason to offer loans. And without loans, most economic activity would cease. But Muhammad was stupid. Muhammad was vile. And so rather than pay the loans back to the Jews and Yathrib, Muhammad murdered them. He sold their children into slavery. He killed the men. He raped the women. And he robbed them of all of their possessions. And rather than blaming himself, taking accountability for being so grotesquely immoral, no, Muhammad and the first Muslims blamed the Jews, said it was all their fault because they charged interest. Interest which Muhammad did not pay, nor did he pay the principal, and instead murdered those who enabled he and his people to survive. That's the truth. Now let's turn to our conclusion on the story of man-made global warming. A friend sent me an email yesterday on something that took place in Nebraska, which is very telling for our report. It says a study on the impact of climate change on Nebraska, the state and the Great Plains of the United States, recently approved by the state, will not be carried out because its own scientists are refusing to be part of it. Now, why would scientists refuse to be part of a study on the impact of climate change on the state of Nebraska? The problem, according to members of the governor's appointed Climate Assessment and Response Committee, is that the bill behind the study specifically calls for researchers to look at cyclical climate change. In so doing, it completely leaves out human contributions to global warming. Now, as we have studied these last 5 days, we have learned that virtually every aspect of global warming and global cooling are as a result of cyclical climate change. The periods from hot to cold are 1,200-year cycles, with the cold period being half of that time, and the warm period being equivalent, 600 years on either side. It has been part of the Earth's history now for at least 12,000 years. Each of the last six warm and cool periods have been chronicled on this program. I will restate them again today. And yet, when cyclical is placed before climate change, which is the only scientific fact that we're aware of that has absolutely no conjecture associated with it, we know for certain that there has been cyclical climate change, and this government asked its scientists that they are paying the salaries of in public institutions at the University of Nebraska to investigate it, and they refused to do so. At a discussion yesterday, the Omaha World Herald Bureau reports, I suppose that is the big paper in Nebraska, that Barbara Mays, a meteorologist in the National Weather Service, pointed out that cyclical isn't even a scientific term. Cyclical, as it relates to climate, is not a scientific term, according to this meteorologist. Google it. Climate oscillation or climate cycles or any reoccurring cyclical oscillation within the global or regional climate. It is a type of climate pattern. These fluctuations in atmosphere temperature, sea surface temperatures, precipitation, or other parameters can be periodic, occurring on the interannual, multi-annual, decadal, multi-decadal, century-wide, millennial, or longer time scales. And it goes on to list the various kinds of cyclical climate changes, the most prevalent of which is that we have just come out of the Little Ice Age. Preceding that, there was a medieval warm period. Preceding that, there was the Dark Ages cold period. Preceding that, there was the Roman warm period. Preceding that, there was the Greek cold period, all averaging approximately 600 years in duration. Records of the past climate conditions, according to Wikipedia, are scientifically recovered through geological examination of proxies found in glacier ice, seabed sediments, and tree ring studies, the various things we have reviewed over the past 5 days. Galileo said it best. He said, "I do not feel obligated to believe that the same God who endowed us with sense, reason, and intellect has intended us to forego their use." And yet in science, that is precisely what we have done. I assume that this meteorologist received a college education. What on earth did she learn there? It is not just a misuse of language. By the way, this journalist has a misuse of language. There's no misuse of language. This is an accurate use of language. This is a use of language that is consistent with the evidence. State Senator Bo McCoy, who added the word to the bill, cyclical, is known as a climate denier. Yes, the sweetheart of a journalist working for some paper there in the Midwest labeled Senator Bo McCoy as a climate denier. That's like being called an Islamophobe or a homophobe. They're somehow afraid of homosexuality, or you're afraid of Islam when you criticize either. A climate denier. I don't recall Mr. McCoy denying climate. I recall him saying, I want to report on the cyclical nature of climate change so that we know how to properly prepare as a state. Intelligent, rational, informed. And what he got back from the scientific community was complete, utter denial. McCoy said, I do not subscribe to global warming. Well, that's not the most accurate statement. You should say, I do not subscribe to man-made global warming. Now, it is true that you can say, I do not subscribe to global warming over the past 15 years, because over the past 15 years, the Earth has cooled, wiping out all of the gains in the prior 30 years. But we are in a period of global warming on average, because that's the grand cycle of 600 years that began to transpire about 100 years ago. He went on to say that during a debate about the legislation, I think there are normal cyclical changes. And that's true. That is a statement of fact. There are normal cyclical changes. You know, to say that cyclical is not a scientific word is like saying winter, fall, summer, spring are not scientific words because they speak of the annual cycle of the weather. That is to say that the Earth's orbit is not a scientific term because it is the cycle which determines what part of the world is warmer or cooler, experiencing more or less light directly and in duration and intensity during a 24-hour period. To deny cycles and patterns is to deny the whole purpose of scientific research and experimentation. We'll return in a moment. So here are the morons that have received PhDs in meteorology from a variety of universities and are paid by the state. At a meeting, a number of scientists stood up to declare that they refused to take part in the study. Yep, they're not going to take part in any study that speaks of cyclical climate change. Nope, not going to do it. We're not going to consider anything that is contrary to our belief system. I mean, science has become religion. And climate science is one of the central planks in socialist secular humanism. It is part and parcel of the religion of socialist secular humanism. The University of Nebraska Lincoln scientists at a meeting said they wouldn't participate in the climate study if it includes the influence of humans. Now, the one thing you can't prove, the one thing is absolutely impossible to prove, is the influence of humans in climate change. The one thing that you can scientifically prove is the cycles of climate change. And so what they're going to do is they're going to exclude a study if it doesn't go into the myth of human-influenced climate change, which cannot be proven, and there's no evidence to demonstrate, but they will conduct a study if that is the focus. Some said they wouldn't be willing to ask others to consider the study either. No way. You know, it is exactly like the religious who put their head in the sand. Mark Sobota, a climatologist with the university's acclaimed National Drought Mitigation Center, said he would not be comfortable circulating a study proposal to his peers if it included the role of humans. Again, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that humans have contributed to climate change. None. There is no evidence that humans have contributed to global warming. As a matter of fact, when The release of CO2 gases, greenhouse gases, have been at their highest. The temperatures have declined. Personally, I would not send it out, this scientist said. Similarly, Martha Solsky, a climatologist and director of the High Plains Regional Climate Center, told the committee that the study scope will determine her staff's potential involvement. If it is only natural causes, but not human, we would not be interested, she said. If it is only natural causes, we would not be interested. We're not going to look at the natural causes of the climate change. Nope. Not even interested. I mean, here is vast arrays of scientific research and reports that demonstrate that climate change, warm to cool periods over 600-year durations, have dramatically influenced our globe, causing glaciers to recede and to advance, and to recede and to advance, causing crops to grow in various regions and then not grow there any longer. And yet, we're not going to even consider the evidence. I don't want my name on something to be used as a political pawn, said the Nebraska State climatologist Al Deutscher in front of his committee. And yet, there is nothing that is more acutely accurate that could be said about scientists advancing anthropogenic global warming than that it is a political pawn. It exists as a political pawn. It is sponsored by the United Nations as a political pawn. And so here's the ultimate in hypocrisy. Here's scientists who are used exclusively as political pawns promoting a myth that is scientifically has been proven to be invalid, saying they don't want to be a political pawn if they're going to do research that actually promotes the truth. Yesterday, at the conclusion of this first hour of the program, we spoke of Ian Plimer. He's the professor of mining and geology at the Adelaide University, and he has recently published a landmark book called Heaven and Earth, which we talked about how it should, if people were actually open-minded, change the nature of this whole debate. Quote, the hypothesis that human activity can create global warming is extraordinary because it is contrary to validated knowledge from solar physics, astronomy, history, archaeology, and geology, says Plimer. That's true. This notion of man-made global warming is contrary to solar physics, to astronomy, to history, to archaeology, and geology. While his research and conclusions are not new, they're unlikely, they are different only in the sense that this particular scientist is willing to be blunt, willing to be bold. Where fellow skeptics like Bjorn Lomborg and Lord Larson of Blavatsky are prepared and they're cautious, this fellow, Plimer, will cede no ground whatsoever. He says that anthropogenic global warming theory is the biggest and most dangerous lie in human history. Anthropogenic global warming, the AGW theory, Pilner argues, is the most dangerous con. It is a ruinously expensive ploy. He says, I'm a geologist. We geologists have always recognized that climate changes over time. Where we differ from a lot of people pushing AGW is that our understanding of scale. They're only interested in the last 150 years. That's not true. They're really only interested in the last and 50 of the last 65 years. They don't want to consider the last 15 years, but they like the 50 years prior to that. Our time frame is 4.5 million years. So what they're doing is equivalent to trying to extrapolate the plot of Casablanca from a single kiss. It doesn't work. What Heaven and Earth sets out to do, this is Pilner's book, is to restore a sense of scientific perspective to a debate which has been hijacked by politicians environmental activists and opportunists. It points out, for example, that polar ice has been present on Earth for less than 20% of geological time, that extinctions of life are normal, that climate changes are cyclical, that CO2 in the atmosphere, to which human activity contributes the tiniest fraction, is only 0.001% of the total CO2 held in the ocean, surface rocks, soils, and life itself. And that CO2 is not a pollutant, but is plant food. And that the Earth's warmest periods, those three that I have mentioned, the Roman warm period, the medieval warm period, and the warm period that we are just entering now, have been by far the Earth's most productive, the Earth's most economically prosperous and plentiful from crop production. All of this scientific information is fact, which is more than you can say for the computer models turning out doomsday scenarios about rising temperatures, sinking islands, and collapsing ice shelves. Plimer doesn't trust them because they have little to do with observed reality. Larry, I noticed that you've called in. This global warming theory, man-made global warming theory, is a tragic conspiracy that is being promoted by economists, by bankers, by politicians, and by scientists in the UN, the world over. And it's all based on a complete disregard for the facts.
Well, you know, Leif Erikson and the Vikings, they were growing food over there in Greenland on what's now permafrost, so it must have been warmer. And last I knew, he rode over to Canada on what's now the permanent ice pack, so it had to be a little warmer then.
Yes.
And, you know, what people don't know, what I think is that organizations that are designed to consolidate power and impoverish the others count on people being lazy. And you know, they'll do this as an example, the health care plan, or, you know, that's about to wreck.
The Affordable Care Act that is made to health care for those that actually pay for it.
The
unaffordable.
Care Act. What they're going to do is they're going to put something like that in 3,000 or 5,000 or 800 pages, knowing full well nobody's going to sit down and read those legalese. I mean, that's how most laws are passed in the U.S. You know that. They throw them in the Federal Register.
Who's going to take 5 days to study the cyclical nature of weather from the cold to warm periods that have besieged our planet for the last 3,000 years? I mean, who's going to do that when everyone is told that man-made global warming is a reality? What, one in a million people is going to do what I did here a week ago and say, you know, I know we just left the little ice age, but if we left the little ice age and we're now in a warming period from it, my guess is that there was a warm period before it, and son of a gun, there was.
My guess was
that there was a cooling period before that, and yes, there was. And then there was a warming period before that.
For a decade, you know, telling people the same, you know, before it was coming out. Now you've got the petition group or the petition project has got 36,000 scientists saying there's no such thing as man-made global warming. And the UN keeps saying it's sort of like running to the Club of Rome, and they call themselves the 42 most elite scientists in the world.
Right.
According to
and if you don't agree with them, you're a climate denier. It's just like being a homophobe or Islamophobe.
You know, or a heretic.
This fellow says, I'm a natural scientist. I'm out there every day, buried up to my neck, collecting raw data. That's why I'm so skeptical of these models, which have nothing to do with science or empiricism, but are touting the data the actual data. None of them predicted this current period we're in of global cooling. Not one of them. In fact, they all denied that it could occur.
Look, they were caught when they were pulling this nonsense, you know, gathering their data. They would have thermometers in front of air conditioning vents, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, there is no problem with global warming. It stopped in 1998. The last 2 years of global cooling have erased 30 years of temperature increase. Now, as I survey the overall cycles, it is obvious that we're in a period of global warming having absolutely nothing to do with humankind, and that the last 2 years we've had a cooling episode in the middle of what will be a 600-year period of global warming, but there's nothing that man did to influence it, nor is there anything man can do to reverse it. And in actuality, it is to our benefit. Every period of global warming has been vastly more beneficial than have been periods of global cooling.
Yeah, it sort of feeds crops, doesn't it? You get more abundant crops when there's carbon in the air.
The world is more navigable. There is less ice. And liquid water is what is conducive to life, not frozen water. And that's just the bottom line of this whole thing. Pilmer's uncompromising position has not made him popular. They say that I rape cows, that I eat babies, and that I know nothing about anything. My favorite letter was one that said, "Dear Sir, drop dead."
Yeah, well, you know, when you look him up on Google, there will be three pages that trash him before you can ever get to anything he says.
Right.
But, you know,
he's a climate denier.
Yeah. On the 18th of September, 50 international scientists released a comprehensive new report on the science of climate change and concluded that evidence now leans against global warming resulting from any human-related greenhouse gas emissions.
That is correct.
Now, that's 50 international scientists, and that was done, a week ago.
Yes. Because the answer is absolutely obvious. 100% of the evidence points in a single direction, which is that we are influencing the weather.
No, can I ask you something? Yeah, when I'm driving my Cadillac SUV down the road, it doesn't change the climate in Alaska. Only a boob would believe that. Let me ask you this, very simply. Yeah. How would giving them more money stop it?
Well, you know, my sons are scientists and engineers. And both of them, particularly my eldest son, who has a master's in mechanical engineering, and did his thesis on wind power generation. His comments were, he said, and this was before the 2 years of global cooling, he says, there is, at this point, there really is no evidence that man has caused global warming. But he says that's not even should not be the question. He says we're not even looking at the right issue. He says, first of all, while there is no evidence that man has caused global warming, that all of the evidence that he was aware of was that it's massive cycles. It's the Earth's orbit, the Earth's tilt, and issues relative to the sun's energy production that have the greatest influence over the climate of our planet. He said the real question is, can man do anything to slow a trend of either warming or cooling? Can man do it? And he says there's even a better question than can man do it. And he says my understanding of our capabilities is that no, we can't. Is that should we even be able to influence a rise or fall in the Earth's temperature by 1 degree? Should every effort that man can possibly throw at this be able to influence the temperature in either direction, 1 degree? What is the cost, and what could we do productive that would be beneficial to our planet with that same amount of money? And what he came to is that if you aggregated all of the economic prosperity of every country on Earth, that we could not collectively as humankind affect the temperature of the Earth by as much as 1 degree, and in so doing, by misappropriating those funds to have no effect whatsoever, billions of people would starve. That's the reality of this.
Can you tell the difference between 88 degrees and 89 degrees when you're outside?
Well, on a global scale, the 4 degrees on average that the planet is cooler during a period of global cooling, and the 4 degrees that the Earth is warmer during a period of global warming is materially significant in terms of weather patterns. It absolutely is significant. But the fact of the matter is that it isn't human caused. I haven't seen any humans in the center of the sun managing the nuclear furnace that is nuclear fusion. I haven't seen any humans affecting the orbit of the Earth. I haven't seen any humans change the Earth's tilt. And until we humans can play on that kind of scale and do so rationally and beneficially, we aren't part of this game. It's the typical man ego that places man as the most important mover and shaker, and therefore it's man caused temperature
ego
change
combined with theft.
What is that? A lot of theft.
You know when you got a guy like Al Gore that gets $500 million out of the bailout that was supposed to help America
yes.
get back on its feet, and he goes to Finland, I think it was, and opens up a car company of these little bitty cars where you'd feel like you were in the bumper cars.
Bought a house in Montecito for $7 million. Is what he
right.
did with the money.
He's got a big carbon footprint there.
Yes, he does. We're going to return to Shattering Myths as we continue to examine man-made climate change. Back to Shattering Myths. We're considering the global cycles that take place over a period of approximately 1,200 years, and global warming and global cooling having nothing to do with man. As one last recap of this for our audience, Larry, there was a cold period that permeated the entire Earth from 975 to 250 BCE during the rise and fall of Greek civilization. It lasted 725 years. So there was a warm period that followed, beginning 250 BCE, lasting to 450 CE. That's called the Roman Warm Period. It lasted 700 years. It was an extraordinarily beneficial period for humankind. A cold period followed, which was a devastating period for humankind, beginning 450 CE of this era, concluding around 950. It lasted 500 years. It was called the Dark Ages Cold Period. There was a warm period that followed. It's labeled the Medieval Warm Period. It lasted approximately 300 to 400 years, from 950 to approximately 1250 or 1350 CE. The cold period was intensely cold, devastating for much of humankind. It lasted from 1250 to or 1350 CE to between 1850 and 1900 CE, a little over 100 years ago. Was known as the Little Ice Age. It lasted between 550 and 625 years. We entered sometime around 1850 to 1900, the present warm period, and temperatures will rise over this 600-year period should man not try to intervene, and I don't think man's intervention would make any difference. Therefore, on average, this is a 600-year cycle. The lows have averaged 4 degrees cooler, while the highs during their peak average 4 degrees warmer. It's a swing of 8 degrees Fahrenheit from coolest to warmest during the 1,200-year climactic cycles that are caused principally by solar activity, also by variations in the Earth's orbit and variations in the Earth's tilt, as well as oceanic currents, and are compounded by ice formation and ice melt. You see, as we get into a colder period and the ice shelf grows, more heat is reflected, and as the ice shield melts during the warmer periods, more warmth is absorbed, so there is a compounding effect. And while volcanoes play a significant role, they do not appear to be globally cyclical, and thus they are not a major factor in this pattern. So, my friend,
you know, I read an article by Paul Dreisen where he suggests this experiment. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you folks can do this at home. You find a video sermon with Jimmy Swaggart.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep the sound off, and you watch his body language, okay, for 10 or 15
mm-hmm.
minutes. Then you queue up your personal copy of An Inconvenient Truth, you know, by Al Gore.
Yes. Yes.
And you turn it down, you watch his body language for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yes.
Turns out it's fascinating.
You know, how similar they are.
Oh yeah, they're perfect. I actually did it.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah, you will actually, you know, you don't have to listen to him talk to you like you're in first grade. Like,
yes.
Yada, did you know the Earth is sick? It has a temperature. You know, I mean, you don't have to listen to any of that.
Yes,
yeah.
It's truly amazing. I've met Al Gore. He's a very unimpressive person.
Can Al think his way out of a wet paper bag, or is
no,
he really
he's,
one of the
he's,
more?
So. Well, yeah, after inventing the Internet, I think that took all of his capability. But the reality is that Al Gore's proposition was based almost exclusively on a graph that has been completely invalidated by the scientific.
Well, didn't some Indian guy claim to see the Mount Kilimanjaro's ice caps melting or something?
And the second aspect of it is on glacial retreat. And the glacial retreat is the primary proof that he provides, but he does not tell you that glacial advancement and retreat are part of 600-year cycles, 1,200 years in aggregate, and that the Little Ice Age ended a period of global advance at the time that he took, he's using the pictures, and that we're 100 to 150 years into a warmer period where the glaciers will retreat, and that this has been the occasion on this planet for 12,000 years. And what they're trying to do is to isolate information, take it out of context, and draw false conclusions. It's really no different than a Jimmy Swaggart sermon on Pauline doctrine, where statements are taken out of context and are twisted to create an entirely invalid conclusion. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the news and commercial breaks.